What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and man, do we have a lot to talk about. I'm so excited to record this because this is the first time in as long as I can remember that I'm genuinely excited to record this, but also to talk about the games because the results of the games, not only are they wins, but they're wins in which everybody develops, the young guys play. You got guys like Bilal Coulibaly looking like Giannis. Jordan Poole was playing great. Even Kyle Kuzma, who Wizards fans have been really hard on, had a really good game in their win in Atlanta. This is going to be a fun pod. This is going to be an exciting and an intriguing pod in terms of the future. And I'm really excited to just talk about it and dive into it. So obviously I like to get to the Atlanta games. I'll preface it by saying I'd like to get to them because those are the meat of this episode, the most fun. But I do want to talk for a brief minute about the games against Boston and Cleveland to open the season. And these, look, I'm going to clump them together because they were pretty similar. I can kind of summarize them in about 3 to 5 minutes. Essentially, the Wizards came out and had a really good first quarter against both Cleveland and Boston. Against Boston, I think they were down by just one, and then Cleveland, they were down three. That's a minus four through, two quarters against two of the top teams in the East for sure. I think Boston's what, 4-1, Cleveland's 5-0. Like, these are two really good teams, and the Wizards played them really tough, really strong throughout the first, 12 minutes of those games. Against Boston in the second quarter, they were terrible. Against Cleveland, they were a little bit better, but still not good. And in the third quarter of both, they were absolutely terrible. Between the two games, they were minus 25 in the third quarter, came out flat, turned the ball over, didn't defend without fouling. Interior defense was terrible, transition defense was terrible. Anything you can think of that could have gone wrong in those third quarters went wrong. And what was concerning about that is it's the same exact thing that would happen under Wes Unseld Jr., where the team would compete in the first half, there would be adjustments made by the other coach at halftime, and then the Wizards would come out and they wouldn't understand what hit them. It's like they didn't understand that the other teams, adjust when they aren't having the best game, and the Wizards never did. And so, under Brian Keefe, usually that wasn't the case, but to see it happen now, the first two games was definitely concerning. And the Wizards obviously went on to lose by 20 to Boston. You fast forward to, the game against Cleveland, where they were more competitive, definitely, but they lost by 19. So again, it's two blowout losses to begin the season. It's not because, guys are playing poorly or because, anything else. It was a talent gap. In most games when Wes Unseld Jr. was the coach, the Wizards would get blown out. I would be like, yeah, there's a talent gap, but like, there's a coaching gap, there's a skill gap, there is a just overall gap between these teams. One team plays the right way, one team plays the wrong way. I didn't really see that in the games against Cleveland, the games against Boston. I wasn't upset or disappointed with the effort. Obviously, not disappointed with the result. You knew that was going to be the result. It's how you got to that result, if that makes sense. And I thought the Wizards got to that result, in the best way you could get to a 20-point blowout. You know what I mean? There was a lot of positives. Jordan Poole was phenomenal throughout the first two games of the season. Throughout the first three games, really, he was shooting 61% from three, averaging around 22 points, five assists, four rebounds, 3.5 steals. Jordan Poole, you can talk about his offense, but his defense has been very solid. He I think through the first three games led the league in steals with three. Someone fact checked me, said it was 3.5, so I'll take it. But he's doing his job. He's trying his best to get better on defense, and he has. And that's exactly what you want, and that's all you can ask for from a guy like Poole. The offensive production will always be there, but for him to kind of buy in defensively, that's a coaching thing, that's a culture thing. And it's great to see. Now, his counterpart, Kyle Kuzma, I can't necessarily say the same for, because through the first two games of the season, I think Kyle Kuzma was shooting 9 of 32, which is around 27% from the floor. That is horrible, especially for a guy that, entering the season, you thought would be this, 20 shot a game, 20 plus points per game guy, and hopefully do it efficiently at that. But through the first two games, he was shooting very poorly. He had yet to make a three. His defense was abysmal. His I want to say his effort level, but his energy level. You know, it looked like he was playing himself into shape. And it's not just me that's saying that. There's a lot of Wizards fans that were saying the exact same thing. It looked like Kyle Kuzma showed up unprepared to preseason, and that's why he had like 4 to 5 air balls. The legs weren't in it. And he showed up in it, and it showed out in the regular season. And what makes sense is that in the third game, he looked phenomenal. He had 25 points, 11 rebounds, shot the ball well, was the reason the Wizards basically came back into that game and won. And that kind of seemed like, okay, this is what should have happened in the preseason, or at least in game one of the regular season if you came in ready. So I don't want to, you know, accuse him of not being prepared, but it's not just me that sees that. A lot of Wizards fans saw it too. So, you know, not the best start for Kyle Kuzma. I'm glad he figured it out in game three. But look, for the first two games, you lost to two, you know, arguably the two best teams in the East. Certainly two teams that are off to great starts. And you lost by around 20 points per contest, but it's how you arrived at those losses. And I thought they played well. I thought they were, you know, they looked way better, way better coached. I thought they looked way more prepared. Turnover still an issue, interior defense still an issue, rebounding still an issue. But again, those are issues against these teams that are just, those are things they do well. And they're really good. So I wasn't too, you know, pressed about the first two results. They were as expected. The Wizards started the season 0-2. In the middle of those in the Hawks game, I mean, I do want to mention my Commanders did have arguably the greatest, most crazy win with the Hail Mary. That was on Sunday. That was so much fun. I was actually in a meeting for my school paper during when that happened. And I jumped up and I started screaming and everyone was looking at me like, what is this kid doing? And I was like, I have to call my dad, I have to call my brother, I have to let them know this is the craziest win I've ever seen. So I was very happy about that, obviously. And then I set my focus back on the Wizards because they had a two-game set against the Atlanta Hawks. Here's a couple of things that I learned from the Wizards' two-game set against the Atlanta Hawks. Bilal Coulibaly. This kid is phenomenal. He is everything the Wizards wanted with that pick and more. The fact that in the first four games of year two, you already know that this kid is special, that this kid could really be that star player, that the comparisons to guys like Kawhi and guys like Giannis were never far-fetched. This kid is legit. He's only 20. He's only in year two. People said he couldn't shoot pre-draft. He's shooting 41.2% from three on a really high volume. People said his defense would translate, but I don't know if he'd be an elite defender. He is locking guys down. Against the Hawks, that final possession, if you haven't seen it, go on Chase Hughes' Twitter. He literally put Trae Young in prison. Trae Young tried to do one of those fucking BS pump fakes, you know, into sidestep, tried to draw a foul. Bilal had none of it. He stayed down. He was disciplined. He used his length to affect the shot, and Trae Young didn't even hit the rim as time expired, and the Wizards won the game. Bilal Coulibaly took over in the fourth quarter against Atlanta. He had 9 straight points in the fourth quarter, was the reason the Wizards were not only in the game, but secured their first victory of the season. I can't say enough, honestly, I can't, about his performance, about his development, about the way that he has gone about just everything this season. It's so cool to see. And he was so good against the Hawks in Atlanta. Not to mention, look, Corey Kispert had easily his best game of the season. 20 points. I think he was 7 of 14 from the field. Scored from all three levels. You know, hit a couple clutch threes, had a dunk. Great backdoor cuts like he always has. He had, you know, a couple moments where defensively I thought he held his own. And he rebounded the ball well. He had a huge, really strong rebound at the end of the game. Got fouled. Only made one of the two free throws. But I thought it was easily his best game of the season. You know, after he kind of struggled a little bit after signing that contract the first two games, it was cool to see, you know, him kind of figure things out. It looked like he had his feet under him, and it was really nice. I did mention Kyle Kuzma earlier, but I will bring it right back to him because he was phenomenal. First half, he was terrible. Again, it was really concerning. And then just something clicked in the third quarter where he turned it on. I think he had 12 points in the quarter, shot the ball really efficiently. At a stretch, I think it was in the third or the fourth, where he had three straight threes, just back-to-back-to-back-to-back, or just back-to-back-to-back, I should say. Brought the Wizards back, The Wizards led by one entering the fourth after they were down by like 10 to 12 throughout the most of the third quarter. And then the guys brought him home. Bilal brought him home. Corey brought him home. Jordan Poole actually brought them home. I mean, if Steve Buckhantz was still on the call, it would have been a sick dagger call. I mean, he just took, I don't know who was guarding him, but he just took him to school. ISO at the top of the key with like 35 seconds left. Tween dribble, step back, three in his mitt for the Wizards to go up 118 to 112. He's been clutch for a bit now. It's kind of starting to, come back alive in DC. And I think that's a confidence thing. I mean, Jordan Poole has been absolutely phenomenal. Everything you can ask for and more. I told you he's bought in on defense, which is a plus because you didn't really expect that. He's 3.5 steals per game, which is unbelievable. His shooting is terrific through the first, I think, three games of the season. 61.5% from beyond the arc is exceptional. Against Atlanta, he finished with 26 points on 6 of 8 from three. Do you know how impressive that is on 8 attempts to make six, to make 75% of your threes on 8 attempts in an NBA game, especially when the whole team knows you are the focal point of the offense and you can still get that done? And why does he get that done? Because his head coach has finally put him in the right position at point guard. His team has said, you know what, we trust you. We're giving you the keys. We want you to be here. We have all the confidence in the world. They instilled that confidence in him. And he is returning the favor by playing with confidence, by being that go-to guy late in games, getting his teammates involved, hitting his threes. I can't say enough about Jordan Poole. And also, for all the people that were so quick to get off of Jordan Poole and so quick to clown on him and make all the posts last year, like, I really hope that you're listening, and I hope you know who you are, because you're not going to come out and say that you were one of the guys that gave up on him. That's fine. But just know that I know, and that Wizards fans know that you were one of those people, because so many people were clowning this guy last year. But real Wizards fans understood it wasn't, a panic time, because he was being played at the wrong position. He was being played at shooting guard when he's a point guard. He was being told to run around like Steph Curry when he's not Steph Curry at all. He's different, and it's so cool to see him buying in. I mean, the game against Austin was Jordan Poole and like 4 20-year-olds, which is crazy because he's only 25. But it seems like he's kind of bought in as, all right, I'm still young, but I'm gonna be the leader of this team. I'm gonna get everyone involved. I'm gonna make sure guys are in the right spot. I'm gonna try to, instill confidence, teach these young guys how to play. And it's been really cool to see that chemistry, that bond, gel. And so that's been one of my favorite parts of the season. Through that game, Jordan Poole, phenomenal, hit the dagger to really kind of put things away. The Wizards made it a little dicey at the end. Didn't necessarily have to be that bad. Corey missed one of the two free throws. The Wizards gave up that three to Dyson Daniels to cut the lead to one. But look, they clamped up when they needed to. They stepped up. They ended the game, and they picked up their first win. That was a gritty win. The Stars did their part. Kuz finished with 25 and 11. Poole had 26 on 6 of 8 from three. Their rookie stepped up. I thought, Keyshawn George finally found his shot. I mean, he was Keyshawn George is so good. And you can talk about Alex Saar. You can talk about Bob Carrington. For me, the real benchmark of just how locked in and how smart this Wizards front office is, it lies in Keyshawn George, because there were so many other people they could have taken at 26. They traded up two spots, gave up that second round pick that doesn't mean anything. It's going to result in a G League player or a non-NBA player. And they were just like, we don't need it. Let's move up two spots and let's get this guy. A guy that I think maybe averaged 6 points in college and didn't shoot the ball too much and really didn't have much statistically speaking. And they looked at him and they said, we don't care. He's a 6'8" 3-and-D wing that can defend 1 through 4, and that's the NBA right now, and we're gonna get him. And we don't really care if it's too high for some people. We think he's gonna be great. And they picked him based on his intangibles, what he could be, not what he was, not what his college stats said. And he's turned into just such a solid player. Such a solid player. I mean, look, he had against Atlanta 3 points and one block in the first win, and I thought he was one of the best players on the floor. I did. If you watch the game, you would also agree with me. He was one of the best players on the floor. I absolutely loved how he plays the game. I love what he brings to the table defensively. And that was great to see him, kind of flourish in that role. So the stats didn't really show. He shot really poorly to begin the year. And then you kind of fast forward into the next game where the Wizards go at home against Atlanta, and he plays the same. It's just the results statistically are different. I mean, in the second game, Keyshawn George had 11 points, 4 assists, and was a plus 22. I'm going to say that again. He was a plus 22 in 32 minutes. Shot 50% from the field. The only downside is that he hasn't quite found the three ball yet. But that's not concerning because he shot 50% in the preseason. He shot 54% in summer league from deep. Not a concern again. I thought he was phenomenal. And my favorite part, honestly, and I kind of transitioned without saying I'm transitioning into the second win, but my favorite part about that is I have a lot of favorite parts because this 133 to 120 win was easily one of my favorites, if not my favorite of this rebuild so far, because it just had everything. But what I really liked is the Wizards decided, you know what, Kyle Kuzma's out. We could easily go to our bench and start Anthony Gill. We could go big and start Marvin Bagley, but why not start our young guys? Why not let them get as many reps as possible? And the best part is that's what fans want to see. Fans don't want to go through this rebuild watching, like I said, guys like Marvin Bagley play over guys like Bilal Coulibaly. They don't want to see Rashawn Holmes eating up minutes for Alex Sarr. That's not what is fun. Nobody likes that. That's why fans tune out. And that was what happened for a majority of last season. You had guys like Landry Shamet and Tyus Jones taking minutes from Bilal Coulibaly, taking minutes from Jordan Poole, realistically a point guard, taking minutes from guys they shouldn't be taking minutes from, considering they won't be here, and they're not. And so what I loved was that the Wizards starting lineup was the youngest in team history, 20.6 average age for the Wizards starting lineup against Atlanta, which is unbelievable. 2 full years younger than their opening night starting lineup, which at that time was still their youngest starting lineup in team history. I mean, Jordan Poole at the point guard, Bob Carrington at the shooting guard. You're pretty much there looking at your backcourt of the future. Small forward Keyshawn George gets his first career start. Like I said, plus 22. He was phenomenal. Bilal Coulibaly gets his, a start at the power forward, which was a bit off because he's usually a two or a three for the Wizards, but it just shows his versatility that, he can play the four too. He's 6'8", 6'9", and still growing. He's only 20. He gets started at the four, and then Alex Sarr, your number two pick, gets the start at center. And, all three rookies are in there. You got Jordan Poole, big trade piece that's been playing really well in there. You got Bilal, who was, possibly your franchise cornerstone. The way he's playing, he definitely is. Your seventh overall pick 2 years ago, he's in there. So it's your last four first-round picks. And Jordan Poole, and they didn't look like really young first round picks. They played so well together. It's like they've been playing together for years, the way that they're passing the ball and moving without the ball. Just I was so excited to see that, and Wizards fans were as well, because last year they would never have done that. 2 years ago, of course, they never would have done it. They would have been like, you know what, he's gonna be on the bench all year because why would we ever play our rookie? Like, that's stupid. And that was their belief. But again, this team is different. This front office is different. This culture is different. And it's not even something you can just feel. Like, you can see it happening in real time. You can see that none of this stuff that they're doing now would have happened a year or two ago. So you can already see the front office, the coaching staff, just the culture, everything. It's shifting, it's changing. And I'm not going to sit here and say at 2-2, the Washington Wizards are a threat in the East, because they're seventh right now. But obviously they're not. They beat the Atlanta Hawks twice. The Atlanta Hawks suck. I don't know what they're doing. I'll talk about that later. But it's great to see kind of, Wizards fans want this and then they actually get it. And it's great. It's great. Look, in this game, there's a lot to talk about. But I'm gonna talk about Bilal Coulibaly again, because why not? Career night for Bilal. He was absolutely phenomenal. 27 points, 9 rebounds, 11 of 14 from the field. I'm going to say that again, 11 of 14 from the field. And this isn't layups and paint shots. This is middies. This is floaters. This is dunks, layups, threes. This is everything. I mean, I can talk about each one. I mean, he had three putbacks on the night. He had two putback dunks, including one emphatic putback dunk. He had a putback layup. He had multiple middies where he literally just like switched onto Trae Young and just rose up. It was pure nothing but net, confident. A shot he never would have taken. He never would have thought about taking last season. And it looked like he'd been taking it like a seasoned vet for the last 5, 6 years. And then you talk about the 3-point production, 3 of 5 from three. I bet you didn't think that was going to happen. 60% from 3-on-5 attempts from Bilal. He's up to 41.2% from three this season. Oh, and not even to mention three steals. He was terrific on defense. And Trae Young did get his, but he got a lot of his when Bilal went to the bench. In the first quarter, Trae Young dropped like 15 points right after Bilal sat. You could tell he was happy that he sat too because Bilal was doing his job. So that's not all against Bilal. But Bilal was phenomenal, and you, I mean, plus 24. And I tweeted this out throughout the whole game. Like, it's not just empty stats. When Bilal was in, the team was doing well. When Bilal was out, the team wasn't doing well. In the first half, Bilal Coulibaly was a plus 5. Without Bilal Coulibaly, the Wizards were a minus 16. So, look, when he was in, the Wizards were up 5. And when he came back in, the Wizards were down 10. And then he came back in to end the second quarter. The Wizards kind of built some momentum. Heading into the half, we're only down by, I think, 8. And yeah, 8. And then, you look at he comes back in the third, and the Wizards just dominated. Pure domination in the second half. And so obviously I talked about Bilal, but look, I want to talk about someone else. I want to give Brian Keefe his flowers, man. Brian Keefe by no means has solidified himself as this team's head coach for the future. By no means, should I come up here and say he's going to lead this team to a title. But I've been so impressed, not only with Brian Keefe to end last season, which is why I thought he should, definitely get a chance. I've been impressed with just the way the young guys have played for him. The way this team has played together, has played as a unit, has defended. And it's not like great defense, but you can tell it's defense with effort and with intent and with purpose. It's not a lack of trying or being in the right spots. It's just not that good of a defensive team. But he has them, moving. He has the offense humming. He's got the ball in the right spots. I mean, Jordan Poole needs it. He's calling great actions. The guys are moving. The offense isn't stale. Everything is kind of clicking. And for a guy that comes in here and hangs his hat on player development, to see Jordan Poole return to what he was in Golden State, that's not a coincidence. To see all three of your rookies start a game and genuinely look like they belong and are contributing. That is coaching. That is development. To see guys like Johnny Davis have phenomenal showings in the preseason. Patrick Bowman Jr. even looks a lot better. Corey Kispert obviously has looked phenomenal. Jonas Valanciunas, bad first two games, came out, dropped 22 points and 7 rebounds against the Hawks. Like, it's Brian Keefe. Brian Keefe is doing a phenomenal job coaching this team. And like I said, I was quick to say, look, after the first two games, Brian Keefe was still having issues out of halftime, still having issues adjusting to the adjustments. Not on Wednesday in the slightest. The Wizards outscored the Hawks in the second half 76 to 55. That is a 21-point swing from being down 8 to being up 13 at the final buzzer. Outscored 36 to 27 in the third, outscored 40 to 28 in the fourth. That's not nothing. That's coaching. That's adjustments, especially defensively, to hold them under 30 in both quarters after you couldn't defend a thing in the first half. To pretty much say, Trae Young, go get yours. Everyone else on this Hawks team, you're terrible. I will let you shoot whenever you want the ball. And that's what they did. Trae Young, look at his stats. What do you have? Finished the night with 35 points on 12 of 25 from the field. He was also a minus 16. A minus 16 with 35 points, 15 assists. If you're a minus 16, that is the other team saying, look, go get yours. You can't defend anything. We figured you out. We're going to win this game. And that's what they did. That's exactly what they did. They let Trae Young, have a phenomenal game. He was a minus 16. Their whole starting lineup was in the minus. And look, they had a lot of people injured. This Hawks team is terrible. I have no idea what the Hawks are doing. They have like half of a foot in the door of a rebuild, half of a foot out of the rebuild thinking they can compete, and the other foot's just wherever the fuck it goes. Like, it's, I don't even know what they're doing. It's the Hawks are what the Wizards were, a team meddling in mediocrity with, a really, really good player, a bunch of like older, mediocre guys on bloated contracts that you can't really move, and then just a bunch of like random NBA players like David Roddy, thrown into the mix. Oh, and then you got your number one overall pick. It's like, what are we doing here? And it's cool to see a team like them that the Wizards used to be imploding, while a team like the Wizards, who have figured it out and understand they need to, go and break it all up before starting fresh, they're ahead of schedule, it looks like. They are clicking. They have the pieces, and they're only going to get better. And that was my favorite takeaway, is that the Hawks are the Wizards of the last 7 to 8 years, and the Wizards are a team that I'm not going to call them the Thunder. I'm not going to call them the Thunder. I really want to. You don't understand how much restraint I'm having right now not calling them the Thunder of the East. But they have rebuilt. This is exactly what you wanted to see when you're rebuilding, and they're nowhere close to being a contender. But it's cool. It's cool to see the juxtaposition between a team like the Hawks that has absolutely no direction, no idea what it's doing, and a team like the Wizards that used to be in that space finally decided to bite the bullet and rebuild. And it looks like they're kind of slowly but surely emerging from that space. And that's really, really cool to see. And I tweeted this out during the game, and I fully meant it when I said it. This is hands down the most fun I've had watching this team in a long time. In a long, long, long time. I'm talking 2017, what was it? 22 game home win streak. Otto, John, Brad, Keith, Marcin. That was the last time, if I'm being real, that I had this much fun watching it. And it's only a small sample size. It's really the two games against the Hawks. But look, the rookies are actually playing, starting, playing good minutes, not just sitting behind, washed up veterans. The ball is moving. The defense is better. The team plays fast. The chemistry is really good. Everyone likes playing together, likes playing for their coach. You can just see it's so evident the joy that everyone plays with. The coach knows when to call timeouts. And if you watched any Wizards games under Wes Unseld Jr., you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly why that's important. And lastly, everyone contributes. It's not like, we have one guy going in there and dropping 30 plus every single game. It's Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma kind of scoring 20 plus. And then you got random performances from Valanciunas with 22 and Bob Carrington with 16 and Bilal Coulibaly with 27. Like, you're getting this production from all around. And it's so great. It's so, so great to see. I mean, I again, the Wizards defeated Atlanta 133 to 120. It was their second straight win over the Hawks. Won the first game in Atlanta, came back to DC and won. I'm gonna read off this stat line from the Wizards rookies in the win. Again, both all three started. Alex Saar, 11 points, 5 rebounds, 4 blocks. Bob Carrington, 16 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. Keyshawn George, 11 points, 4 rebounds, plus 22. I'll go down to the plus minuses for the other guys as well. Alex Saar was a plus 17. I said George is a plus 22. Bob Carrington is a plus 3. All of that, and the Wizards won by 13 against Atlanta. Just like, and Bilal Coulibaly dropped 27. Jordan Poole was really good, 24. Like, it seemed like it all clicked. And it's, again, the Wizards could take a step back and I would be okay with it. It's just like they aren't an incompetent rebuilding team right now. They're like a competent team that really has no expectations. And it's like, let's have some fun this season. Let's have the rookies play a lot, the young guys play a lot. Let's see how they can develop and let's see what they can do. Let's see, if this team could be anything. And I've seen some people like, oh, they're already messing up the Cooper flag tank. Get out of here. Like, they beat the Hawks twice. They have to play a lot of other teams that are very good. You saw them against Boston, against Cleveland. You can pretty much, against probably 8 to 10 teams, chalk it up as they will probably lose games, all those games to all those teams. That's just the skill gap. But to play, teams on your level or below and look just like the much better team, that's great to see. You don't want to be going into these games and getting blown out. That's not how you develop talent. You develop talent You develop experience by being in close games, by playing good competition, by playing together as a unit, playing good basketball. That's how you build good habits. That's how you develop talent. And that's exactly what the Wizards are doing right now under Brian Keefe. So again, I couldn't be happier with the results of the last two games against Atlanta. By no means will it affect this tank at all, realistically, literally at all. But I'm so stoked for the future. I'm so excited for it. Wizards fans are kind of excited for it. They've adopted the Wiz Kids nickname. They're just playing together. They're playing as one. They're playing fast. They're playing, fun. And I think that's something that fans are going to be drawn to. Here's what I will end with. I'm going to read off stats from your 2023 draft class's leading scorer through the first four games of the season. And yes, this does factor in Victor Wembanyama as a member of this class. 18.8 points per game, 5.8 rebounds per game, 2.8 assists per game, 1.5 steals per game, 59.1% from the field, 42.1% from three. I'm gonna leave it there, and I won't tell you who it is. I'm gonna tell you who it is. It's Bilal. He's leading Wemby. He's leading other guys. I think Grady Dixon third. Jordan Hawkins is up there. But Bilal through four games is the leading scorer of that draft class. He has been hands down the best player on the Wizards, I'd argue, on both ends, considering both ends of the floor. I think Poole may be a little bit better, but on both ends, he's clearly been the Wizards' best player. He guards the best player on a nightly basis and still puts up numbers like that. Absolutely incredible. Exactly what the Wizards have advertised. And I'm just going to say it right now. I've gotten clowned for my take that he's the next Giannis. I tweeted out a bunch of comparisons. Some people laughed at me. Look at me now. Look at me now. You're going to be quiet. You're not going to say anything. I understand. I'm not going to chase you down, but you guys know who you are. This guy has all the tools. And it's so great to see. It's so great to see him finally putting it together because Wizards fans knew he always could do this. They always did. But for him to kind of have that confidence to put it together and figure things out like that is just so great to see. Look, I'll end on this. The Wizards might be back. The Wizards might be back. It's not quite on that level yet, but basketball in DC is starting to become fun again. It's starting to have a purpose, starting to have an identity. It's starting to come together. The rebuild, why the Wizards did what they did, why they traded everyone they did, why they traded Denny Avdia, why they traded Daniel Gafford, why they traded Brad and KP when they did and got the return they can. Like it's all starting to gel. And I'm here for it. I'm excited for it. I know you guys listening are excited for it. And I'm hyped for it as well. So again, that's gonna do it for this episode. I mean, I talked a lot about the Wizards. I talked about Bilal Coulibaly. That was the theme of this episode. He's been terrific. Jordan Poole's been terrific. Keyshawn George, Bilal, Bub Carrington, Alex Saar, all the rookies have shown why they were drafted. The Wizards are 2-2. They're seventh in the East through four games. They have a decent chance to get back above 500 in their next game. I mean, they have two more games at home, one's against Miami, one's against the Warriors. They could easily win those games. Miami game's actually in Mexico City. It's at 9:30 on Saturday, which is pretty cool. I'll be at the Penn State Ohio State game. Hopefully I get to storm the field. That'd be pretty sick. And then I'll get to, go home and watch the Wizards try to get above 500. That'll be sick. But again, thanks for listening. That's going to do it for this episode, recapping the first four games, recapping why Bilal Coulibaly is the next Giannis, recapping why Jordan Poole playing point guard has unlocked him, recapping why this team under Brian Keefe feels so much different than the teams of the last year or two. So again, that's going to do it for this episode. Appreciate all you guys for listening as always. Yeah, go Wiz.